Hey ho weaves, today's episode is brought to you by The Gallery. Based out of New York, The Gallery is a curated collection of photographs from around the world. See, we are unable to shunpo around the world all over the place in a flash like our friends in Ichigo and other characters in Bleach, but this, The Gallery, is a great way to bring a piece of the world straight to you. See, all of their prints are made from 100% recycled aluminum, giving your wall that gallery sweet, sweet, pristine finish. Now you can take off those dingy old anime wallpapers off your wall and replace them with something from The Gallery. Right now, The Gallery is offering our listeners 15% off your purchase using the code 15OFF. All you have to do is go to thegallery.com. That's thegallery.com, so your wall will never be boring again. Now, enjoy the show. Hey, yo, let's go. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Weebcast. Oh, it feels so good on a nice Friday afternoon to be back and talking to you lovely people. Oh my God, I love it. I missed it. God, every single time I get to sit down, record one of these episodes, and then after that, I'm just, you know, then I gotta sit back and then, you know, hopefully people enjoy, get some feedback from other people and from various places, and then just makes me want to record another episode that same day. It's amazing. Been amazing seeing the support. I'm starting to slowly see the show growing after each episode, and it's amazing. Things are getting a little. I'm starting to add some pieces to the Weebcast pantheon of things, and I'm so excited. Like for this past week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today, you have been and will be hearing my voice weekly, Monday through Friday, right on Podbean. So if you don't have Podbean, it's a great place to also listen to your favorite podcasts, but it's also a great place to hear live radio shows, and that is exactly what I've been doing with Weebcast. Hang out Monday through Thursday right at noon Eastern for about an hour and some change. I've been hopping on Podbean, starting up a live stream, and there's been chatting with the people that come in and out, talking about the story, my favorite, some of the anime and manga stories of that day, and just kind of, and pretty much getting you guys' opinion on different things. And just react to the news live with you guys, and it has been a blast. The live streams have been actually surprisingly pretty engaging, I will say, and super fun. And it hasn't even been a full week since I've done these live streams on Podbean with Weebcast Hangout, but I am excited to do more of them. If you're listening to this on Friday, it's about April 28th, I believe. I will be hopping on right after this episode premieres at 12 p.m. After this episode drops right at 12 p.m. Eastern time, I probably will be hopping on Podbean and talking about a little bit hour, talking about extra things about the episode. Some details I don't get to in this episode. Taking questions, polls, and all that sweet and good and juicy stuff right on Podbean on that live stream. So check, you know, so if you can't check out the, you can download the episode when this episode drops. Take some time, peep in into the live show on Podbean, which you can get on the Podbean app. Download that app. Great app. Listen to some podcasts. I'm going to be putting some of my podcast episodes on that Podbean as well pretty soon. But right now I'm using it for just for live streaming right now. But you'll be able to listen to Weebcast on there as well. And you can listen to my live radio show Monday through Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern for about an hour and some change. So that's been good. I've got a pretty nice schedule down for the next month, for the remaining of this month and the next month, with episodes I want to do, with an idea of some guests that I want to bring back on the show. You guys will be excited to hear Some of your favorite guests that you've heard on the Weebcast episodes will be returning very, very soon. And I'm talking guests like Ace, our Bulgarian brute. And I'm talking guests like Megan, the angry Scott, Yagami, my very first ever guest on the show. I got some new people too. There are some new people coming onto the show, and I cannot wait to have them and introduce you to them and talk about some great anime and great manga. And obviously the returning guests. You guys love those episodes, so like, why not bring them back for another episode? So it's gonna be fun. I'm really excited what's about moving forward with the podcast show and with the live streaming on Weebcast Hangout. It's gonna be great. It's been fun. I just want to keep it going. Let's keep the momentum going. Let's keep the positivity in this anime manga world. And I'm gonna do my best to guide, as I am the voice of reason, the logical mind of this wacky and weird anime world. C-Dub, aka Mori, aka the independent variable, your host of Weebcast. Mwah, that is me. But I guess this is, like I said, if you already know the title of this episode, then you know why I'm pretty excited. Taito Kubo is back, baby. Now, is he back and better than ever? Now, that's the question. But we'll get to that. And we'll get to that short. We'll get to that on the other side of the show when I take you down, sit you down for the weekly manga corner. Because I, on the second half of the show, I picked 3 chapters out of last week's issue of Weekly Shonen Jump magazine that I thought were really interesting to talk about. And I've been talking about it all day this week, every day of the week, this past week, of how I'm excited to talk about Burn the Witch. Because Taito Kubo, first chapter of 4 chapters, Burn the Witch dropped last Sunday. I've read it about 100 times right now. And I got some thoughts on it. I'll try to be concise as possible. I was so excited for it coming out. I'm so excited for the movie, the anime. It's a movie, but it's gonna be split up into like 4 or 5, 3 episodes or whatever. It's a lot. I'll probably talk a little bit about some details on the manga, and the anime a little bit while explaining that Burn the Witch chapter. If not, I've talked about it on the live show a few times this past week. I've talked about it on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, I'm sorry to get a little sidetracked here, and I probably should be getting into the show, because I got some cool things. I got a cool something I want to talk about starting the show. But I should start off with these bastards at Twitter. Has my twitter.com/JXNMORI. My account is suspended. I don't know why I'm being targeted. First, I was hacked. Now my account is suspended. It's so stressful. It's not really stressful. I'm overplaying it, but it is mildly annoying that my Twitter account was suspended. I'm going to get that back in a few days, make it an appeal, because I'm pretty sure it was just some bullshit anyway. So I'm going to get that back. But I do have a backup Twitter account. And you can find me at Based Senpai, at Based Senpai, BASEDSENPAI, Based Senpai on Twitter. Also, big news, I revealed this on my live show yesterday, but Weebcast is on Instagram. Yes, sir, Weebcast is on Instagram. You can find it on Weebcast TV on Instagram, where I post clips of episodes. I post polls, ask questions to viewers, to fans, and just to people on Instagram, so I can get to use that for the show. Just brand spanking new account. Just made that yesterday. Fixed it up. You can find us. You can find me on Weebcast TV on Instagram. Make sure you drop a follow there. Make sure you drop a follow on Based Senpai, my backup Twitter account on Twitter. I think we got that all situated, I think. So, I think it's time I get right on to the show and my first big topic that I really wanted to get into. I wanted to start off the show by talking about one of my favorite shonens of all time. That is Kinnikuman. Yuta Tamago's iconic Kinnikuman manga series is starting anew in the pages of Shueisha's weekly Playboy, finally returning to print publication after several years out of the game. This is big. Oh, this is real big. I'm telling you guys, this is big. The first chapter of the new series is centered around a clash between the series' many Superman and the Gods of Harmony. Was published on August 17th, in issue number 35 of Weekly Playboy. Previously, Kinnikuman had been published exclusively online via the Weekly Playboy's website, which they do have some pretty good manga titles. Make sure you guys go check them out, see if you like it. But after moving from print magazine for the second half of the Ultimate Superman tag arc, this was in itself precipitated by the series' move from Weekly Shonen Jump in 1987, after shifting decisively away from comedy and towards action over the course of its run. And with Kinnikuman starting a new series in Weekly Playboy, you might be tempted to pick it up, so you can do so via Playboy website, as it will continue to publish there, and as well as appearing in the print magazine. Yet the quality of Yudimanko's series is questionable, and the publication in Playboy makes it clear it's real it's real target audience, and people or older men wanting a short injection of nostalgia. But someone who's who's 26, has been reading Kinnikuman for, I guess when he started, I picked it up. I remember starting to see it when I was in high school. I think of more people, I do realize this audience is probably for older men. And it's not really for the young people, you know, people who are, you know, jacking their stuff off to One Piece, Demon Slayer, My Hero Academia, all that good stuff. But Kinnikuman is worth your time. But what's even more interesting here is the fact that Kinnikuman is returning to print for the first time in 9 years. For a series that began in Weekly Shonen Jump back in 1979, it has languished in obscurity on the Playboy website ever since 2011. Which hardly seems like an appropriate plate for such an iconic series such as this. However, unrefined it may be, you can hardly dispute the effect it had on the landscape of Japanese pop culture. Furthermore, you know, there must be some sort of rationale behind bringing Kinnikuman back to print. Was there space available in the Playboy lineup? Has the series experienced some kind of sudden boost in popularity recently? Are we getting an anime? Are we going to get an anime reboot of Kinnikuman soon? All these things came to my mind when I heard about this news, but I guess it doesn't matter right now, because I'm just happy that Kinnikuman's legacy is secure, back on print so people can read, reaching a different audience. And its legacy is secure because appearing, he does in video games, fashion, and yes, even protein powder. So get jacked like Kinnikuman with some protein powder. I wanted to lead off with that, with the news there on Kinnikuman, but I wanted to gush a little bit about Kinnikuman as well. There are two things that I have always loved: superhero comic books, Marvel, DC, Image Comics, all that good stuff, and pro wrestling. Now, imagine my two of my favorite forms of entertainment combined in one package. Now, I know it sounds impossible, but let me just introduce you to Kinnikuman, because Kinnikuman is a Japanese manga that is the creation of Yuta Tamago and debuted back in 1979. Yuta Tamago is Japanese for boiled egg, and it's the pen name for the manga duo comprised of Takashi Shimada and Yoshinori Nakai. Shimada is the writer, and Nakai is the artist. Kunikuman is easily one of my favorite shonen manga of all time. In fact, it's actually one of my favorite comedy mangas, one of my favorite action mangas of all time. And in fact, I think, and like most people, I think, who read this manga, who kept up with it over the years, I think I was a fan of Kunikuman before I even knew about the manga. And the reason for this is the complex history that the Kunikuman franchise has had in the United States. I can only speak for the United States. But in fact, you are probably more familiar with the Kunikuman franchise than you actually think. And yes, you, the listener, right now, you probably know more than you think about Kunikuman. But at any rate, my goal with this part of the podcast right now is to raise the awareness of Kunikuman and explain the franchise's history in Japan and in the United States. Do I have some kind of selfish reasoning for doing this? Yes. Is it because I've been rereading on the weekly Playboy's website, rereading this awesome manga now that I heard that it's coming back to print? Yes. But it is what it is. And I want enough people to get interested in Kunikuman when it returns to print. So that we can get more, so Shueisha can license it more, license more volumes of this manga in America, and get a quote-unquote an official translation of Kunikuman. But let's get right into the manga's publication history. When you're dealing with a franchise like Kunikuman, with such a complicated past, it is best to take a quick overview of the manga's publication history. And I'm just going to give you guys general sense of this franchise. Because the Kunikuman franchise is composed of four different manga titles. Let's start off with the original manga title. That is Kunikuman. And it was published from right in the beginning of 1979 to 1987. Which had a total comprised of 36 Takuban volumes. And this was the manga that was made into an anime in Japan from 1983 to 1986. And this is the same anime that never made it to America. That never made it to America officially, sadly. The second was Kunikuman Nisei. And this manga centered on Kunikuman's son and the next generation of Chojins. And this was published from 1998 to 2005, which had a total of about 29 Takuban volumes. And this manga was also made into an anime. But unlike the original, this actually did make it officially to America, which is weird. But I'll get into that a little bit later. So just calm down. There's a story behind that. The third iteration was Kunikuman Nisei All Out Chojin Assault. And this manga followed Nisei followed the second generation and their continued journey from 2001 to 2007 for just four volumes. And then Kunikuman Nisei Ultimate Chojin Tag. And this was a little interesting because this manga had the second generation characters travel back into the past and team up with the first generation characters from the original Kunikuman manga. Wow, I know. But let's go on to Kunikuman. Let's go back to the first iteration, the original manga that ran from 1979 to 1987, with 36 volumes of pure action goodness and comedy goodness. Yudete Mango realized that the first generation Kunikuman characters were more popular than the second generation, which we've seen this happen before. We've seen it in Boruto with Naruto. We may see it if Bleach ever goes down that route with its young, with its new characters. We may even see this in the Yashihime and Inuyasha when Yashihime comes out in October. So I mean, this isn't new. Kinnikuman and Yudete Mango realized the same phenomenon. They were aware that their first generation characters were more popular than the second generation. So what did Yudete Mango do? In 2011, Yudete Mango went back to the original Kinnikuman manga, where they picked up where they left off in 1987. Kinnikuman has been published from 2011 to the present, right now, still going, with 71 volumes and counting. And like I said, they went from print, then they went from digital, and like I just said a little bit earlier in the show, they're going back to print, still staying on digital, but they're going back to print as well. So it's really exciting. And the new volumes of Kinnikuman have not been made into an anime. However, though, there has been a recent social media push for a new Kinnikuman anime. I was looking through Twitter, through the tags on Instagram, Tumblr. There's still an audience for Kinnikuman, but there's still a thirst for some more of that content on anime. Just from the U.S. So I can even imagine what the clamor is for Kinnikuman anime for the fans in Japan. So we'll see how that plays out in the future, though. Unfortunately, Kinnikuman has never been licensed and translated for the American market. And this leads into fans to have turned to fan-made translations for the Kinnikuman manga. Luckily, there's a dedicated group of people who translate the latest chapters of Kinnikuman as they are published. You can read this, and the thing is, you can read these translations legally, because like I said, you can read Kinnikuman in Weekly Playboy online. And then people just have a block of text where you can kind of read with it as you flip through the manga digitally. But there's, like I said, there's a dedicated group that translate the dialogue in these chapters. And this is where, once again, Shueisha, anyone at Shueisha, I hope you're listening. If you ever do listen to the show, please rate, review, subscribe to the show wherever you may be listening to this podcast, Shueisha, please. That'd be very much appreciated. Please give us a translated Kinnikuman trailers as a part of the Digital Shonen Jump membership. I'll pay extra. I'm already paying for the Shonen Jump membership. I'll pay a little bit more if you put translated chapters on the Digital Shonen Jump membership or Manga Plus. Please. Please, please, please. The Kinnikuman Nisei All Out Chojin Assault, and then the Kinnikuman Nisei Ultimate Chojin Tag have also never been licensed and translated for the American market. You just have to rely on scanlations for both manga series. However, there was one Kinnikuman manga that was licensed and translated for the American market. And that leads me into the next section of this of the show, guys. The Kinnikuman franchise's presence in the American market. Kinnikuman in the United States. But see, I don't know if you remember. Think back just 10 minutes ago. Remember when I said you may be familiar with Kinnikuman and not even realize it? Well, that is because while we never got either the Kinnikuman manga or the anime in the United States, We certainly did Kinnikuman. We did get Kinnikuman over here in another form. In 1985, I believe, Mattel got the license to bring Kinnikuman toys called Kinkeishi over here to the United States. However, since the manga and anime were never licensed for the United States, Mattel had to create their own backstory for these Kinnikuman toys. And pro wrestling was huge in the 1980s in America. So Mattel created the story of the good wrestler Muscle Man and his allies called the Thug Busters. In the battle with Terry Bull, which was Buffalo Man, as he is more well known in the manga and the anime, and his evil wrestlers called the Comic Crushers. I shit you not. And thus was born Muscles Toy Line. But this was an acronym for something. Muscles stood for millions of unusual small creatures lurking everywhere. And the word muscles was also a nod to Kinnikuman's name, which is Muscle Man in English translated. And the Muscles toy line consisted of, believe it or not, 233 different Muscles figures. A battling belt carrying case that looked like a championship belt, and a hard rocking ring wrestling arena, and a mega match board game. Oh my god. Moving into 1986, we got the Kinnikuman NES video game from Japan. Of course, in America, the NES was rebranded to this game to Tag Team Muscle to better match up with the already existing Muscles toy line in the United States. And the big difference is that Japanese NES game got Broken Jr., while the American version of the NES game got Geronimo. Of course, like any other superhero loving and pro wrestling loving child in the 1980s, a lot of kids had all, you know, they had the Muscles toys, they had the NES video game. Yeah, the video game probably sucked, but whatever. As a little kid, kids liked it. And then the Muscles toy line was cool as hell. I've looked at pictures. I've looked at where to buy some of these. Some of the prices are freaking amazing. God damn. I just wanted one to keep as a nice memorabilia item. When I heard that Kinnikuman was coming back to print, I looked up some eBay, Amazon, to find up some of these Muscle toy line toys. Because I remember having one really old one back when I was a child. It was just a hand-me-down kind of toy. And that was over my first exposure of it. But I did, like I said, I didn't know that what the manga was. I didn't know anything about its fan base in Japan. I just thought it was just a cool toy line of a guy who looked really cool, wrestle, superhero type. But at any rate, the Muscles toy line, I found out, actually ended in 1988. I wish I still had that toy. God damn. I wish I could find it one day. But at least there are people out there that kept their treasured toys. But now we're gonna step a little fast. We're gonna shumpo fast forward to the year of 2002, where, you know, Saturday cartoons were on. You were hungover on breakfast cereal and milk, sugary breakfast cereal. And you're just flipping, watching TV with your family, with your siblings, or by yourself, whatever the case may be. And you know, you flip channels, and before you landed on Foxbox. I don't know if you guys remember Foxbox, and their lineup of cartoons. I'm sipping some juice, maybe, hoping to, you know, quiet down the pounding in my skull of a young boy who's got so many things on his mind. I'm just kidding. But on that TV debuts a brand new cartoon that year, Ultimate Muscle: The Kinnikuman Legacy. I sat there bleary-eyed and experienced the feeling of bliss and deja vu. Why in the world did I feel I had seen these characters before? And that's when it hit me. They are related to my muscles toys. And the thing is, at the time, I didn't have stable direct, you know, stable internet access, if any at all. It wasn't until much later in life that I was able to do a quick internet search and found the connection. And then that connection opened my eyes to the glorious world of Kinnikuman. And at that time, I just read through all the manga, watched all the original anime, and it had me honestly hooked. As I stated, it was after 1988, Kinnikuman had already left the American market. And it was not until 2002 or 2003, I think, when the Kinnikuman returned to the United States with the debut of Ultimate Muscle: The Kinnikuman Legacy cartoon, which I think was a lot of people's first interaction or with this Kinnikuman. I think that was when there was their first kind of introduction to the character. Excuse me as I take an unprofessional sip of water. But this was the Japanese anime, excuse me, which was licensed to 4Kids. And boy, did 4Kids make a tongue change. I mean, that's their MO, right? Isn't it? Isn't that what they do? They do this shit all the time. Did it to One Piece. Did it to Yu-Gi-Oh. Not Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh too. And from changes, and this included story changes, included changing the characters' names, and some of the larger plot points from the original anime. The Ultimate Muscle: The Kinnikuman Legacy ran on American television from 2002 to 2004. And in 2002, we also got in Ultimate Muscle: The Kinnikuman Legacy toy line by Bandai. And that kind of consisted of like these 6-inch tall articulated action figures. And I think it also had, there was also a Kinkashi Ultimate Muscle card game, interestingly enough, which I never really would get my hands on. But in 2003, we got the Galactic Wrestling featuring Ultimate Muscle for the Sony PlayStation 2, which was big. It was big. But also in 2003, we also got the Ultimate Muscle Legends versus the New Generations for the Nintendo GameCube, which I've never was able to play. That's why I need to check again. I need to check if there's anyone on YouTube that's got some recent playthroughs of this game, because I really want to see the GameCube Legends versus New Generation. I'm a little more familiar with the Ultimate Muscle game they had for PlayStation 2, but I've never actually played or seen too much about the New Generation versus the Legends on the GameCube one. So let me know if you guys know anywhere I can find some videos of that to watch. But in 2004, a year later, Viz Media got the license to the Kinnikuman Nisei manga, which, if you remember, which was the second incarnation of the Kinnikuman series, and that was basically the second generation, the introduction of the second generation characters. And Viz Media translated and published the entire 29 volume run of this manga. And Ultimate Muscle: The Kinnikuman Legacy Volume 29 was published in 2011. I might have to do a review of that, to be honest. Maybe talk a little bit about that volume, the ending of Nisei and its importance on it. I'll maybe have to do that one day. That'd be fun. Because I love Kinnikuman, and I think more people need to get hip on it. And if I could do some reviews on it, and this episode alone, I hope becomes enough to do so. But let me move on. Anyway, since then, we sadly have been without anything Kinnikuman related, and it honestly needs to change. Let me just explain the world of Kinnikuman a little bit more clearly. Kinnikuman is the action manga that delivers lots of silly, crude humor. And look, Kinnikuman isn't recommended for the more sensitive readers. It's okay. However, for everyone else, what Kinnikuman offers is a blend of superhero themes, pro wrestling themes, all wrapped up in a truly over-the-top comedy. It stars our hero, the man, the OG, the myth, the legend, Kinnikuman, who initially starts not as an Ultraman parody. Kinnikuman is presented as some of a clumsy oaf who is rather stupid. In fact, Kinnikuman usually ends up beating up the kaiju that he fights for stupid reasons. Honestly, Kinnikuman volumes 1 and 2, the very first volumes, aren't really that great. And you can kind of tell that Yuta Tamago were unsure of what they wanted to do with the manga early on. It is also obvious that they have not found their groove in the terms of what they were constructing and what kind of type of manga they wanted to create. The Ultraman parody moments are okay, but they never really grabbed the reader's interest. And the first two volumes also lack any true creativity or uniqueness to the stories of the characters. But, however, I'm telling you, that all changes in Kinnikuman Volume 3. This is the volume where Yuta Tamago get their feet under them and they begin to flesh out their very own unique world and populate it with these insanely interesting characters. This is where Kinnikuman finally begins to get its own distinctive personality, its own distinctive flavor. And it was from this point on, Yuta Tamago knew what they wanted to deliver in a manga that combined superhero and pro wrestling themes. The main character is Kinnikuman. His real name is Kinniku Suguru, but he usually just goes by his codename, Kinnikuman. Remember, Kinniku means muscle in Japanese, so his name makes more sense when you try to keep that in mind. But with Kinnikuman Volume 3, the story is about Suguru growing and evolving from a clumsy coward to a brave champion and the single greatest Chojin alive. It must be kept in mind that the world of Kinnikuman can be absolutely absurd. This is all part of the charm. Also, continuity nerds who let continuity gaffes drive them crazy and demand logical explanations for every little thing that happened need to be warned. Because Yuta Tamago operate by a fly-by-the-seat-of-the-pants approach when it comes to creating the world of Kinnikuman's franchise. The world for the Kinnikuman franchise, like I said, it's a fly-by-the-seat-of-the-pants kind of adventure. You know, things change, like, in an instant. You just really have to be ready for that. There was definitely a sense that Yuta Tamago are quickly making up things as they go, which a lot of authors did at the time, back in the early 80s in manga. And the result of that is that they may contradict themselves or simply just make continuity changes when they kind of just feels like it fits the story. One example is just how brutal the Chojins went from a group of evil Chojins to a type of Chojin that could exist in either the Justice Chojins or the Evil Chojins. And also, things sometimes happen with little logic, or rather just flimsy logic. Characters always come back to life with little in the way of mainly detailed explanations. I mean, in the end, this all adds to the appeal of this unique manga, though. And the emphasis is simply on having fun, entertaining, delivering lots of kick-ass action between larger-than-life characters. Let me move on to the Chojins. Because you're probably asking, what is a Chojin, really? But well, now it's time to really examine the world of Kinnikuman. This manga focuses on Chojins. And Chojins is basically a Japanese... It's basically Japanese for superhero. And is used in the same way in this manga. And a Chojin is a separate species from humans. See, Chojins predate humans in this world. And Chojins come from a godly lineage and therefore have superpowers. Now, there's another way to become a Chojin outside of being born a Chojin. And it's simply, and it's extremely rare, but sometimes a human through intense training or the use of a talisman can become a Chojin. Broken Jr. and Geromino are two examples of this Chojin. And Chojins are pretty rare. This places them in a kind of a special category on Earth. You know, therefore, humans idolize them much like modern Americans idolize NBA and NFL superstars. Chojins all have a Chojin power number. And this is the amount of power that the Chojin possesses. And it's kind of referred to as a Chojin power level sometimes. But at any rate, not all Chojins are equal. Actually, some Chojins have very high Chojin power level, while some Chojins just not at all. And the scale often is, the scale runs from all the way to zero to like 100 million. And only Chojin gods have 100 million power, I believe. But it must be kept in mind that Chojin power is not determinant of which Chojin will win a battle, though. And that's the cool thing here. That Chojins with lesser Chojin power have beaten Chojin with greater Chojin power. And this can be due to training and technique. And Chojins can also give their Chojin power to another Chojin to revive them. And a Chojin's power level is a static number. However, there is one exception to this. And this is Kinnikuman. Normally, Kinnikuman has a Chojin power of like 950,000. But when he powers up to his burning inner strength, also referred as the fire of inner strength or in America, or the power of ultimate muscle, his Chojin power increases all the way up to 79 million. And Chojins have all kinds of special techniques and powers that are kind of based on their physical body types, their training, and their techniques. And Chojins are far stronger and far more impervious to damage than humans are, obviously. And Chojins can heal at a super fast rate. Just think of Wolverine. Not quite Deadpool, but think of Wolverine's kind of healing factor there. Lastly, Chojins settle all their disputes by wrestling. I know, it's convenient, right? But if two Chojins come in conflict with each other and they do not simply just attack each other in the streets, the two Chojin will meet up in a square circle and battle each other out. It's important to get to the types of Chojins as well. There are four types of Chojins. Brutal, robot, masked, and mercenary. Brutal Chojins are known for being bloodthirsty and just incredibly violent when fighting. Robot Chojins are either machine types or kind of cyborgs. Masked Chojins are like the superpowered luchadors. Kinnikuman is the example of a masked Chojin. And most masked Chojins lose their honor and right to fight if their true faces are ever seen. Mercenary Chojins are Chojins who will fight for anyone in return for money. Most mercenary Chojins have no sense of good and or evil. They'll just fight for money, whoever the payer is. And there's groups of even Chojins. There are three main groups of Chojins. Justice Chojins, Evil Chojins, and Time Chojins. The Justice Chosen are good, are the good guys, obviously, here. Kinnikuman is the de facto leader of the Justice Chosen, and now the Justice Chosen are not like a formal group like the Justice League. They're more like babyface wrestlers who each other have each other's backs during wrestling matches and will team up with each other to take on the bad guys. Now, among the Justice Chosen, there's a select group of Chosen called the Idol Chosen. And the Idol Chosen are the superstar Justice Chosen. The Idol Chosen are the most popular Justice Chosen, and they're the ones who the humans kind of just idolize. Kind of think of like Hercule in Dragon Ball. And kind of like how you have pro wrestlers like Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold, or The Rock, who are at a much higher level than the rest of the pro wrestlers. Kinnikuman is not only a Justice Chosen, but he's also an Idol Chosen as well. And then you have the Evil Chojins, who are, well, you know, they don't hide the ball, you know, it's in its name. They're the bad guys. Evil Chojin are separated into two distinct groups, though, the Devil Chojin and the Perfect Chojin. And again, the names clue you in about those two groups as well. The Devil Chojin usually look demonic and monstrous, and the Devil Chojin either reside in the demon world or they have sold themselves to Satan. The Perfect Chojin can look more like regular Chojin, and they possess godlike strength and exile themselves to the heavens since they could not find anybody worth fighting on Earth. And some Devil Chojin actually join up with each other and form a stable. Perfect Chojin may also form a stable with other Perfect Chojin. There are a lot of times where both Devil and Perfect Chojin may even form a super stable with one another. The DMP, Demon Making Plant, is one good example of that type of super stable we got in Kinnikuman Nessei, the second incarnation of Kinnikuman. Another thing to keep in mind is that Chojins can change sides. Often Kinnikuman's enemies are so overwhelmed by his heart and his power or friendship that once Kinnikuman defeats these Chojins, they renounce their evil ways. And Buffalo Man is a good example of a Devil Chojin who reformed and became a Justice Chojin. The Time Chojins are a peaceful Chojin. They wrestle for entertainment, and they can time travel. That's probably worth noting. And the four types of Chojins are listed above are Brutal, Robot, Masked, and Mercenary. They can all be found in the main group of Chojin. Now let's get into the story elements. See, all four of the manga titles in the Kinnikuman franchise have the same basic story elements. There are three core themes that run through all Kinnikuman manga titles: comedy, fighting, friendship. These are the staples of any Kinnikuman manga. Comedy is important. Kinnikuman is supposed to be fun and silly. Now, to be clear, there are some serious moments. A lot of them, actually. But Kinnikuman manga titles can get rather bloody and can get really rather violent. And characters get killed all the time. But the Kinnikuman franchise is supposed to be fun. So there's always going to be some kind of comedic relief in the Kinnikuman story. Second, fighting. It's the main draw for any of the manga titles in the Kinnikuman franchise. These manga titles are not going to be full of talking heads and dive into deep contemplative subjects. No. The Kinnikuman manga titles are going to load up the reader with non-stop fighting, non-stop action. The Kinnikuman franchise is tailor-made for those action junkies, and there's never a dull, boring moment in any of them. And of course, in the end, friendship is the single greatest theme in any of these Kinnikuman manga. All the stories revolve around the bonds of friendship. All the fights are centered around the power of friendship. Friendship is honored and revered. It is actually quite admirable, and what makes Kinnikuman a manga that has a real moral of the story is that it's always through the power of friendship that Kinnikuman can find the strength inside and his spirit to win the fight. And the Kinnikuman franchise mangas follow a similar story arc construction as well. Each story arc contains its own unique tournament or challenge. Every once in a while you may get like a one-off match, but usually each story arc is a tournament of some sort with a prize at stake. These tournaments can either be a series of solo matches, tag team matches, and the prizes come in many forms as well. You know, other times it's for a championship belt, a trophy. Sometimes it's to rescue a particular character. Other times it could be for the protection of Earth. Once it was for the throne of planet Kinniku. Other time it was it was for the mastery of the power of the ultimate muscle. Sometimes a tournament can just be a reoccurring one, like the Chojin Olympics, where all the Justice Chojins compete with one another, and it's been done several times. However, you know, usually it's a tournament pitting against Justice Chojins against the evil various Chojins. And the Kenyukuman is really familiar to the Dragon Ball franchise, in that these fights take a long, long time. I mean, one match may run as long as 8 to 10 chapters, and each of the story arcs run from anywhere to 40 to 100 chapters. So it's needless to say that Yudhishthira Mango clearly understand fight psychology. Every match is well constructed and tells a proper story. The moves that the various Chojins pull off also contribute to the wild nature of the manga. The Chojins' moves and attacks just defies the laws of physics, and Chojins regularly pull off moves that make the reader's mouth just drop. The craziness of the moves is just another aspect of what makes this Kinnikuman franchise so much damn fun. And of course, it's just not the characters in the moves that are over the top. It's also the settings for these fights. You have rings that are set up high in the air over bottomless chasms in the ocean. Some of them in the ocean, a volcano, or even a 6-ring cube with a gravity machine inside it so the Chojin can battle any of the rings. The settings for these matches are always super insane, and it just helps add to the excitement to the story. Like I said, this wraps up my overall primer of the Kinnikuman franchise. Of course, there's so much more to discuss, and I could go on even longer, but to discuss more of this general than what this general kind of show podcast is kind of giving you right now about Kinnikuman. But maybe in the future, I may deliver some more that's going to spotlight some of these various characters and moments in the Kinnikuman franchise. And I'll be adding maybe some manga reviews in the future when there's some slow weeks that I'll maybe review a volume or two from Kinnikuman. But maybe this podcast, Weebcast, will so you guys and listeners sharing the podcast, listening to the podcast, which you guys have been doing greatly recently, maybe this will push Shueisha to finally give us an official translation of this awesome manga. But that's enough for Kinnikuman, because on the other side, I'm going to take you down to the weekly manga corner once again this week. I got 3 manga I'm so excited to talk to you about. And the most one I'm more excited about is obviously Burn the Witch by Taito Kubo, because he's back, baby. And we're gonna dive head into that chapter and 2 other chapters I thought were really interesting in this last manga. And I'm going to hit that right up right after this break, right after a little ad. I'll see you. Hey yo, it's Weebcast Radio. What's up, everybody? Look. It's the ending of a week. It's a Friday, and you know what we do? We like to do here on Weebcast. You already know what it is. You already know what it's about. I'm here to end your work week on a good note. I'm here to start your weekend on a good note with yours truly, the weekly manga corner, which means only one time thing. Shueisha's legendary manga magazine has been releasing over every week for over 50 years at this point, and it still has enough sighting series in its roster to justify its hallowed status. Now, with Viz Media now publishing the entire thing in English, there's never been a better time to dive in. And in C-Dub's weekly manga corner, it is my job to investigate, to review some of the greatest manga titles each and every week out of the magazine, so I can tell you what's worth your time reading and what's not. This week, I'm really excited because we're chatting up Burn the Witch, Chapter 1, My Hero Academia, Chapter 281, and A Gravity Boys, Chapter 32. Welcome back. Weekly Shonen Jump was on break last week, so I had to fill some time in, but I bet it didn't feel like it, because to be honest, they needed a break, because with Act Age's cancellation, it really hampered a lot of people's enjoyment of the week prior Weekly Shonen Jump magazine. But we still did get a good, a little bit of jump of goodness this past Sunday with the Promised Neverlands duo with their latest one shot. I still need to talk about that. I may talk about that one day. Which was published through Viz Media, and also it came after a week of its initial Japanese release. And I kind of quite enjoyed it, I'm not gonna lie. A very competent mystery story that shows that the pair have more enough potential to come back and create another hit in the pages of Weekly Shonen Jump. But anyway, on with the manga on this week's Weekly Manga Corner, because it's big. It's big. We know what it's about. You know the title. You know why we're here. Where's the Marshall Lynch? Y'all know why I'm here. Excuse me, I take an unprofessional sip of water. It's about Taito Kubo's Burn the Witch. It's finally here. It's finally here. It's been over 2 years since Taito Kubo published this initial one-shot at this point, meaning that the excitement for the series has been building for a long, long time. Nevertheless, temper your expectations. Burn the Witch Chapter 1 is the first in a series of four chapters that we'll see Kubo's latest creation stick around for only about the end of September, which is hardly the glorious return that many people were hoping for. But furthermore, it seems like as if the links between the manga and the upcoming anime movie, which will be split into three parts, are stronger than we once thought, casting doubt on whether this will or not this limited series can stand on its own 2 feet. One of the first things that stood out to me about Burn the Witch Chapter 1 was its slick and smooth presentation. Kubo's art style has always been something that I've respected, but he is going all out with his presentation this time. Opening on a bold, very bold full page spread, and it transitions bombastically into the story surrounding Ninny and Noelle. And this is something that continues throughout the Burn the Witch Chapter 1, with hardly an idle moment wasted. But yet, I have a theory. Part of the reason why Burn the Witch Chapter 1 feels so cinematic may be because, in fact, based on the movie screenplay, something which isn't so unthinkable considering that the limited series and the movie were announced at the same time. Furthermore, moving on from that, the layering dialogue and the narration at many points throughout the Burn the Witch Chapter 1 very much feel like Kubo's way of representing voiceover in the medium of manga. And that's not to say that it doesn't work, because it does. It does make the reading opening chapter a breeze. And it makes it go super quick, super fast. But it also has me a little worried that reading this manga might end up being the same experience as watching the film. And if push comes to shove, I'd just rather watch the film. Because I don't want the film and the three-part film, you know, the film and then this miniseries to be the exact same beat by beat, play by play. Otherwise, why do the manga and the film? And that was one of my fears coming into this when they were announced the same day that we were going to get a manga and a movie. Then I'm like, well, the first thing that came to my mind was like, wait, well, are there going to be any differences between these two mediums? You know, the manga is meant to give extra details, flesh out a world a little bit more beyond than the movie, or vice versa, maybe, you know. But it worries me that this first chapter played out kind of like an OVA. It really did. The way the dialogue, it felt like it was supposed to be spoken rather than read. And that's one of the few criticisms, one of the criticisms I had with Burn the Witch Chapter 1 here. Hopefully maybe that changes. Like I said, this is just part one of the four chapters going to be released. So, you know, maybe it may change in the future, but that's just what I feel like right now. But I will say, Burn the Witch Chapter 1 doesn't really progress much beyond the initial one-shot. Instead of treating the story as a sort of test run, as many authors do, Kubo has decided to continue on the same path, following the same conflict surrounding Balgo and Osushi as they threaten to bring chaos to Reverse London. Balgo was hardly the best part of the initial Burn the Witch one shot. And if I'm kind of honest, I would have preferred to have seen him cut out, to be honest. His obsession with Ninny is a little grating. And any time spent focusing on him is ultimately time taken away from our beautiful leads, Ninny and Noel, which are, without a doubt, the best part of the series. All in all, Burn the Witch Chapter 1 wasn't really a triumph of a return as I think Shueisha and Weekly Shonen Jump wanted it to be. True, it did generate a lot of conversation. It's bringing in a lot of eyeballs. But its mixed reception hardly makes it feel like it's the crowning glory of Bleach 20th anniversary that it was supposed to be. At least we still have that continuation of TV anime looking forward to, you know, next year. But in terms of original content, we're stuck with this. Worth the wait, right? Ding. Let's move on to My Hero Academia chapter 281. Luckily, Bleach's successors in the realm of Weekly Shonen Jump Battle Manga had an incredibly solid set of chapters this week. Mashle, continuing to demonstrate why its shift to action is proving so popular. You have Jujutsu Kaisen, which straight up made the antagonist the main character. Gigi Akutami has got some gonads, man. Got some balls, man. Nevertheless, I chose My Hero Academia chapter 281 this week for a couple of reasons. And let me start out with the first reason. First, I don't think I've covered the series' current war arc as nearly as much as I have done on the show. I should have done a little bit more on that, so that's why I've also picked this chapter. So I'm trying to make up for that going forward. What's more, My Hero Academia chapter 281 is full of moments that had me gawking at the quality of Horikoshi's writing, which doesn't seem to have been hampered one bit by the shift to digital. The first thing that we should get out of the way is the absolute beast, and I mean the absolute monster, that Tomoro Shigaraki is. I mean, I already realized back in chapter 270 on how much he improved as a villain. But My Hero Academia chapter 21 makes this even clearer. The shifts in his design, as well as just the overall presence, are making him into one of the best villains Weekly Shonen Jump has currently right now in this lineup. Possibly probably beaten out by... And the only one I think this... If I had to put him second, first would probably be Chainsaw Man's Makima. There are more subtle moments in My Hero Academia chapter 281. However, I would like to focus on one thing first, and that's when it comes to Gran Torino. Because Gran Torino's grabbed by Tomura, possibly signaling his demise. And Horikoshi delivers us a flashback detailing Nana Shimura's struggles with her family, having to give up her own son to protect him from All for One. Given Tomura has turned evil directly as a result of this decision, feels like the old hero is coming face to face with his mistakes, lending credence to the villain's declaration that you heroes hurt your own families just to help complete strangers. Watching Horikoshi's approach to the idea of hero change and evolve over the course of the series has been a joy to see. And so has watching the character development of one Izuku Midoriya. Starting life as a very weak wannabe hero, the series protagonist is showing off all his newly obtained powers in this chapter 281 of My Hero Academia as he uses Black Whip to restrain Tomura. And this comes after being held back for so many chapters by such characters like Endeavor, Gran Torino. But now he is in full force. Speaking of Endeavor, the current number one heroes, despite desperate attack at the end of My Hero Academia chapter 201, leaves off in an uncertain note. Despite being restrained by Deku, Tomura manages to fish out what appears to be one of Overhaul's quirky racing bullets from his pocket, hinting that something terrible is about to happen. Could this be the moment where the number one hero loses powers for good? And what if it's Deku? I mean, this arc has been crazy enough so far, and it's about to get a whole lot crazier in the future, especially if you've seen some of those leaks for the next chapter, but I won't get into that. The third chapter I wanted to get into was a Gravity Boys chapter 32. I wanted to end the weekly manga corner with this chapter, because after all that heavy hitting battle manga discussion, you've been wanting a little bit of a palate cleanser, a little something, a little water to get the grit out of your mouth. That is, after all, the beauty of this anthology magazine. There were a couple of lighthearted series that I thought about, that thought I had some good chapters this week. Magu-chan, Hard-Boiled Cop and Dolphin, and Mori King all impressed me this past week. But I ended up going for a Gravity Boys Chapter 32 for the simple reason that it proved me right. Back in my initial review of the series, I noted that Atsushi Nakamoto's approach to writing gags had shifted for the better. Away from the objectification of Chris and towards a more equitable approach, the fruits of that shift are plain to see in a Gravity Boys chapter 32. While Chris is the butt of one of the jokes, he is not the only butt that the reader is invited to laugh at. A Gravity Boys chapter 32 starts off a bit with a sketchy kind of note. We are suddenly introduced to the concept of an Omo card, a type of points card that a character used to ask favors from the higher being, or HB, in exchange for entertaining it. While Gravity Boys has never had the strongest of narratives, relying more as it does on chapter by chapter comedy, it does have at least one thing. One, making the concept of retroactively adding something to the story slightly worrying. Nevertheless, a Gravity Boys chapter 32 somehow makes it work. Perhaps it's because of how aware the chapter is of its own hypocrisy, addressing the reader at the very beginning, saying, "I'm sure you're a little all confused by the sudden appearance of this point guard." But I think the moment where I became convinced was when Kamura used it to make a hilarious gacha gag, where he relates it to of being, it's like a freaking gacha game, I think he says. The meat of the Gravity Boys chapter 32 then is all about how different the characters use and abuse the points they have racked up in exchange for entertaining HB. As I mentioned, that's like a significant portion focused on the character of Chris. But the final gag of the chapter, you know, where they all meet inadvertently in embarrassing costumes on the planet of Alesta, spreads the joke out a little bit more evenly among the cast and makes it much more palatable. Many laughs were had, which make Gravity Boys chapter 32 a solid one in my book. On a final note, this chapter was the chapter that finally convinced me to start collecting Atsushi Nakamoto's series as a physical volumes. I started to do this a little more as of late, but as I'm in the process of doing these shows, I'm trying to only collect those series that mean a lot to me. And given the journey that I've gone with the Gravity Boys, I think it deserves my place on a desk or a bookshelf. But you can read. You can read Burn the Witch Chapter 1, My Hero Academia Chapter 281, and A Gravity Boys Chapter 32 for free in Viz Media Shonen Jump and the Manga Plus app. Thank you for sitting down with me on another edition of the Weekly Manga Corner, where I share you what to read and what's worth reading and what's worth not reading in Weekly Shonen Jump magazine. And I picked these three chapters because I thought these were the most worth to read right now. With two heavy action, you know, manga hitting heavers with Burn the Witch and My Hero Academia, and then a Gravity Boys with some comedy on that tail end. I thought it was a nice, sweet little package that I got for you guys today. But I hope you enjoyed the Kinuku Manix discussion. That went on a lot longer than I thought it was, but I enjoyed getting that ready for you guys, because I'm really excited to get some more Kinuku Manix action back in print. Hopefully it spells for maybe an animated return or some more, or Viz Media to license some of the other manga titles that haven't been officially released in America. Whatever the case may be, I have a feeling it spells something good in the end. And about Burn the Witch, man, it could have been a better chapter. I'm hoping chapters 2, 3, and 4 are significantly better than chapter 1. Chapter 1 kind of subverted my expectations, but then again, are we really to blame for that? We had high expectations because Taito Kubo's back, baby! Of course we were going to have high expectations. That's pretty much me for the show. That's all I got for you guys today. I hope you have you enjoy the rest of your morning, afternoon, evening, or night with your boy C-Dub, aka Chris, aka Maury, aka the Independent Variable. Shout out some people who were, wanted to shout out a friend of mine who shared my live stream yesterday. I think his name was some password. Shout out to you if you're listening to the show, man. Thank you for sharing my live stream yesterday. Shout out to the new people who are following me on my backup Twitter account. Now that my main Twitter account is suspended for temporarily, you can follow me on Base Senpai, and you can follow me on Instagram because Weebcast is on Instagram at Weebcast TV. Next week, look forward to another weekly Manga Corner. Obviously, I may have a special surprise on next week's Manga Corner. Might have a little special surprise for you. Might have an extra. Might do a fourth manga review. But be on the lookout. I'll be dropping some hints. My Tokyo Ghoul episode is coming together. Cannot wait to get you for that. I got some returning guests that are going to be coming up in the next coming weeks. And I got my shoujo script and episode pretty much ready. So be on the lookout for my shoujo episode. And be out on the lookout in the future for my isekai genre episode. And obviously, as we get closer to the fall season of anime, you guys better be ready, because I'm going to be previewing every new fall season anime, giving you my thoughts, my impressions, and getting you guys ready to watch some good fall anime, because October is going to be absolutely crazy in the world of anime and manga, especially in anime. But that's all. Make sure you guys continue to rate, subscribe, review my podcast on whatever you may be listening to, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Anchor.fm. If you're listening to on Anchor, though, think about donating to the show. You can donate a small amount to the show to help me improve equipment, improve the quality of the show, and get better guests. You can do that at anchor.fm/Weebcast/support. It's in the description of this episode and every other episode of Weebcast that you watch. But just keep supporting it. It's been really great. Make sure you guys follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, give me feedback on the episode and other episodes. I'm welcome to any of them all, and you get shouted out on the show as well. But yes, thank you. I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you for allowing my voice into your ears and into your homes. This is your boy C-Dub, and I'm Audi 3000. Goodbye.